Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Welcome back, everyone, to Faking Movies. This is Lee, of course, being just irritated by Seth, who is also here. Also joined.
I am here.
Yes, yes, you are. Then shut up. Also joined by my dear friend Zach. What's up, Zach?
Hey, guys.
And this week we got tag team action again coming in with our dear friends Jim and Kev. What's up, guys?
Hey. What's up, guys? How's it going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm alive.
All right.
Damn it.
Yeah. Day to day, right?
Two out of three.
All right, Seth. You're alive, yeah. But as though you were a Civil War soldier writing a letter home. Tell me the same thing.
Dear Mama, we fought against the Yankees again last night. I don't think Gerald is coming home this time.
All right,
yeah. I can't even. Yep. You did such a better job like a minute ago.
That worked really well. Yeah.
I'm really like I'm genuinely upset that I couldn't come up with some kind of bullshit story.
It's all right.
It's a long war.
Yeah, break in whatever if if it strikes you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sick of eating soup.
just to get some house cleaning out of the way. This is episode 24. And you know, as always, check out our WordPress, check out our Twitter, our Instagram, our YouTube channel. We got a lot of shit going on. Check it out. And we just wanted to say thank you this week to all our fans, because for one brief shining moment, we had 69 subscribers.
Nice.
Ideal.
Next, the next benchmark is 420 subscribers. So
yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. Hashtag blaze it.
You guys gotta get all of our fans. You guys gotta get a street team together and like rep us. So, yeah.
Everybody go out and make like 30 friends and then tell all of them.
I don't know if I can make 30 friends.
I know that I can.
Oh, not us. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Good. Whew.
Yeah. We're putting in the time here. They got to fucking help out.
let's get going here today. Jim and Kev, what movie did we give you this week?
The Good Son.
Ooh. I'm not going to say classic, because I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
And what did we tell you about The Good Son? It wasn't a lot.
No, it wasn't. It was Elijah Wood, Macaulay Culkin, The Good Son.
Yep.
Nice. That was about it. And you said that we could watch the trailer, which we did.
Oh.
I didn't.
I don't remember saying that, but all right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said we could watch the trailer.
Hey, I mean, do you.
Either way.
Don't worry. Maybe the trailer holds no bearing over where this fucking thing is going.
Excellent.
So if you guys are ready, why don't you tell us about The Good Son?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go nuts. Kev, do you want to get it started?
So, The Good Son, as it turns out, was that we believe it to be a sequel to not one but two separate films, one of them being Home Alone and the other one being Radio Flyer.
Naturally.
Yep.
So, basically, after the events of Home Alone 1 and 2, Kevin McAllister was placed into witness protection and removed from his criminally negligent parents' home and placed with a new family, as well as Elijah Wood leaving a similar but more abusive family. And he had a brother, but as it turns out, he turned a fucking wagon into an airplane and just got out of touch.
Yeah, his brother straight up abandons him in that.
So he's
spoilers for Radio Flyer right now.
Yeah, we're gonna bleep this all out.
Yeah, apologies.
Yep. Yeah, we'll bleep it.
This will only make sense if both of those movies have been considered.
Okay. That's
and true. even then, probably not.
Right.
Nope. That seems good.
It's on brand.
So it picks up it picks up with them living with this family, and they are, you know, obviously at odds with their new situation. So it starts out right around Halloween time, and they are trying to put together their best Weekend at Bernie's tribute by creating
this giant. A little confused. There's a lot of crossover action happening so far, and I am into it.
This is good. This is really good.
And so they make this dummy, and it starts out innocent enough, an art project, and they take it around with them. Now you have to realize this is completely based off what we saw in the trailer, that this portion of it. So if we cheated, I'm sorry, but it's for it's.
I thought you said we could watch the trailer.
I was about to say, like, how did you come up with that dummy thing?
this happens in the trailer.
That's just. Completely amazing that you guys have the clairvoyance.
We watched the trailer multiple times. All right, continue. So,
real academic. I like it.
So we came to the conclusion that in this movie, basically, it starts out with a bonding sequence. They're trying to be friends, but shit gets pretty weird once he decides to throw their Bernie off of an overpass onto a busy highway.
Yep. I see that. Yep. That
could be a turning point. So there's obviously some concern, and Elijah Wood's character is obviously trying to feel out the situation a little more. He doesn't want to pass judgment. He might just be lashing out. They're both in new places. So he lets it go for a little while, but then
he meets with the doctor.
Right, the local doctor. And he speaks to her in the context. You know, he's very elusive. He doesn't say, like, my brother's possibly a psychopath. He's kind of just feeling her out on what she feels characterizes a shitty person.
Okay.
He's kind of grilling her a little bit. And things kind of continue going that way for a little while, except the plot, his motives become a little, like, skewed. You don't really know what he's doing it for. It seems to just be for the thrill of it. I don't know if he got a little bloodlust after dealing with the situation of having to booby trap a house twice. Two Christmases
in a row. It's horrible. He did torture two adults.
Yes. Like, right. Torture isn't even the word for it.
Yeah. Right. Now, it's debatable whether they deserved it, but that has to change a boy, you know?
Yeah. It was all in good fun, but yeah, he got a taste for it, and then he's like, uh-oh. Yeah.
Right. So that's when the things start to kind of come off the rails. Now you put him in a new town, he's got something to prove.
And you gotta wonder, you know, he wants... Who is the real monster?
Are they trapped in there with him?
It's him. No, it's him. He is most definitely the monster. Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
So... This whole time, Elijah Wood is just being like a complete pussy about things. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
to be fair, to be fair, he is watching some pretty like intense shit go on. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there was the Irish whip on the skating rink.
Yeah. There's a crush that develops between Elijah Wood's character and one young lass in the film, and. I guess Macaulay Culkin kind of takes a cue for that. And, you know, he tries to put the charm on her too, to steer her away when it's not going very well. You know, this was the early 90s. So the whole like Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan thing was fresh. Ooh. So he gets her on ice skates. And he fucking Irish whips her into
it looked like Rudy. Yeah. It could have been Tree. Yes.
Yeah.
Very aggressive.
So that was the first time he ever like hurt anybody that he knew. These were the first, you know, it was like strangers and like, you know, cats and shit, you know, but then like now he's progressing. Now there's a pattern for me.
Right.
It's personal now.
So Elijah Wood's character decides that he needs to take a stand now, you know, he needs to take a stand now because, you know, he was a little torn at first, but this isn't just, you know, this behavior. It's just he needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
And
so at that point, it's getting pretty, you know, it's getting pretty out of control, and his aggressions are becoming more apparent, and his acts are becoming more violent. So Elijah Wood finally decides that, you know, he needs to try and step in. There's a nanny that takes care of the house.
Is it Fran Drescher?
No, because she would have annoyed this kid right to death.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that Macaulay Culkin and his proto
Macaulay Culkin
Oh my god, Mr. Macaulay!
That's a different movie. Then they both turn on her and murder her, and then like roll credits.
Right.
That's
a weird, if anything, that would have completed. That would have been the bond that they needed.
Real talk.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I enjoy The Nanny. I think it's a good show. But all right,
we all grew up in the 90s. I mean, it checks out.
Yeah. I mean, I used to watch Caroline in the City all the time.
Oh, sure. Her and Dell should have gotten together. I don't know.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh god.
Anyway.
Stupid.
So. As much as I wish we could have worked that one in there. So, basically, now Elijah Wood, he tries to confide in his nanny. The nanny doesn't want to believe that the other kid's a monster, but soon she starts to see it too. You know, little things here and there.
Little Elijah, don't believe he's a monster.
right. But you know, it's just like, you know, it becomes harder to deny. She can, at a certain point, she can't deny that this kid is a fucking menace.
Sure.
And
a menace, you say?
Oh, is this a Dennis the Menace door that we're opening now?
So
we already have four movies we can't add to fucking, yeah.
As it happens, the family that's hosting these two kids, you know, must have seen that they were coming from rough spots, so they were like, we better make this comfortable. So they preemptively built a treehouse for these two kids to play in once they arrived. And, you know, Macaulay Culkin now has a little bit of experience working with a treehouse, particularly when there's a zip line attached to the other end of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So, you know, they're playing in the treehouse, and this is the first time that Macaulay Culkin seems to think that maybe Elijah Wood has been, you know, snitching.
Oh, and
talking, you know, talking to the wrong people.
Everybody,
you know,
like, knows. He's probably not wrong.
Snitches get snitches.
Yeah, time for some stitches.
But, and in a really, like, you know, dramatic way, he pushes Elijah Wood out of the treehouse, but grabs his arm and, like, holds him because he needs him to understand that, like, you know, you are at my will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can either make you or break you.
You're with me or against me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm gonna, spoiler alert, he drops him.
Oh shit.
He Left fucking him. Drops him. Okay. But it's a treehouse, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't die. Like, he just, like,
okay.
He broke his ankle.
He just can't skateboard anymore. Yeah.
right. But he can't even trust a skateboard at this point, because who's to say that there's, like, the wheels aren't gonna fly off as soon as he hits a hill, you know what I mean? This guy can't be trusted.
He leaves
Legos in the hallway. At night, like, you know, you go to take a piss and you step on a fucking pile of Legos.
Definitely don't touch any doorknobs. Yeah. They're all fucked.
No. Yeah. He's
on
shit.
All of the kids floors are covered in tar gross. And then tacks.
Farts on his pillow sometimes. It's getting on him.
Chronic pink eye. Yeah, it's terrible.
That's the long-term torture.
This is the turning point, though, in the story where now he has been personally, you know, hurt and victimized by this little bastard. And, you know, so he finally goes and tells the family, you know, this kid's a maniac. We got to get him out of here. He tells the teachers, he tells his guidance counselor, and, Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, whatever.
Macaulay.
He's in witness protection now. Different name.
Yeah.
Revisits. Yeah. Yeah, it's Henry.
Yeah, Henry. I believe.
Hank.
Revisits his girl, Elijah Wood's lady friend, and you know, puts her in a pretty precarious position where you know, she's fearing for her life, and the movie all ends with a battle sequence between Elijah Wood and Macaulay Culkin in the woods, no weapons, bare knuckle.
I thought Elijah Wood would have Sting or something.
He jumps out of the tree with a fucking bat.
Yeah.
He's got a magic ring. Down from the
unless it's the other Sting, and then he just fucking plays sick bass lines until the passes out.
So wait, you're saying that the big battle at the end of your movie is like two
preteens, what about the one in the stairwell
beating each other to death with their bare hands?
Yeah.
Listen, man, Hollywood's done worse. I mean,
no, I'm not criticizing. I think this is awesome.
Yeah. And I didn't say anybody dies.
I mean,
I am, you know, all right, somebody dies. Yeah, it is to the death. The fight is to the death, actually.
I mean, cool. There's a little known film called Battle Royale where.
No one's seen that.
Nope, absolutely not.
So, what it all comes down to is that nobody wanted to deal with the fact that this kid turned into a menacing psychopath after he got a taste for blood, and Elijah Wood, coming from an abusive family, found the only way to end this problem was the violence he so despised.
It was with his own fists. Yeah,
yes.
I like it. That's
heavy.
Yeah. Is there any kind of happy resolution here, or
no? One of them's dead. It was a fight to the death.
That's Seth, fine, I thought that was plainly obvious. Come on.
But it's the bad one, so I mean, I guess it's a matter of perspective. The shitty kid is the one who died.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Oh, that's a win.
I think there might have been Elijah Wood walking off into a sunset. His shirt's ripped up. You know, he's looking
to. I wanted to incorporate like four more movies into this, I could have said that he grew up to be the party monster, and then Elijah Wood just abused drugs, and the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy was a hallucination.
Oh my god! Or party monster is a fucking deep cut. Wait, man.
Lord of the Rings comes out first, and then Party Monster comes out, and Elijah Wood, the first scene, he just snaps out of it, and he's like, "Whoa, what the fuck?"
And he's and just Macaulay's smiling like, at him over
hey,
his
man.
Bed.
Yeah. Oh fuck, that's really good. Yeah.
So why did you guys choose to make Macaulay Culkin the evil one and not Elijah Wood? Because he's played plenty of evil characters.
Well, I think that it was coming from the angle of making it a sequel of both movies. I think that he definitely had more of a tendency to come out of that a violent maniac.
Okay. Also, have you seen both of their faces? I think it's pretty obvious who the evil
one is. I mean, one of them is my doppelganger.
They're both young and innocent. Yeah, maybe now I'd say Elijah Wood, but yeah.
Elijah Wood could have been on the Mighty Ducks, and Macaulay Culkin looks like a fucking psycho. So
Elijah
Wood actually a great comparison.
Yeah,
I could totally see Elijah Wood in the Mighty Ducks.
Yes, absolutely.
If Josh Jackson was given attitude on set, he would have been the next Charlie Conway.
Rotating
Banks too. Yeah.
Oh, he's a real cake eater. Dude. Elijah Wood.
Fuck.
Yeah, Elijah Wood really aged into his creepiness. I think
he did.
Yeah, I just get the feeling that you would like hate Macaulay Culkin no matter what. Like, after watching that movie, you just hate him no matter what.
Wait
and if
a second.
It was the same kid.
Do you mean Macaulay Culkin of the awesome band The Pizza Underground?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You mean, Seth, that band that's sweeping the nation? The one that only plays Velvet Underground covers that are about pizza?
Yeah.
If that was the same kid that got stung by a swarm of bees and died like in My Girl, I wouldn't
Spoilers for My Girl.
Fuck it, we're ruining them all.
The world would have been a better place, yeah. That's true.
Macaulay Culkin only has like 6 films. You're just running through all of them.
Yeah, he's got more
siblings. Glad he started hanging out at Neverland Ranch.
That is real.
That's when it got extra.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
I'll cut it off. We'll cut it off.
Okay, so that was really good. I have a diatribe that I just want to do up front before we get into the cast. So I guess it's fair to say you guys did pretty close to the actual movie.
Yeah.
You really got the feel of what was going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a bastard.
Yeah, yeah, you got the characters right. Like Macaulay Culkin's a weirdo, and Elijah's kind of the good guy. So here's my take on this. I came to this. Oh, okay. I guess this is my 3-word summary. My 3-word summary: Macaulay Culkin biopic. Here's how this goes. Now that you said Neverland Ranch, this makes so much more sense. Like, we need to make a documentary about this. So, Macaulay Culkin is a surprisingly okay actor in this movie and in others. Like, he's really not that bad for being a kid. But I think it might be because he's a real-life sociopath. So, much like your movie, I think Macaulay Culkin the human got a taste for blood in Home Alone.
Life imitates art.
Yeah, 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 exactly. It was it was all comedic, but like he got a taste of it and he wanted more. So like on this film, somebody definitely stumbled on him trying to light a bag of puppies on fire.
Wait, you know what? I just decided right now that we're going to change the ending. The showdown.
Oh, okay.
The showdown moves from the woods into the house, and Elijah Wood goes upstairs, and Macaulay Culkin stalks him with a knife, and as he enters the stairwell, two paint cans come swinging down and just fucking knock him
out. Elijah turns it around on him.
It's got good replay, yeah.
I'm going to put that one in for changes right now.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, yeah.
Rewrite.
Last second rewrite, yeah. Yeah, that's good. So in this movie, he's got a full-blown serial killer training shed.
oh, yeah. That shed's real.
Yeah, like
up.
That actually happens. My take is that was real. Like Macaulay just found some shed in the woods and like made this his thing. And then, so yeah, he tries to murder a cat and does kill a dog. He drops the dummy off the bridge, as you guys noted. And I think these are like real life Culkin things that probably got covered up because he was very famous. And then, like, if you look at him now, like, he's a nightmare. So, like, this all works out. And now the Neverland Ranch shit, like, this is just his real life. And somebody rewrote the whole script and they were like, oh, we can just roll with this. This will be good.
It all exists in the same universe.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do.
So, yeah, that was my take on the whole thing.
I will. I am going to feel like I need to chime in and mention Jim and I grew up together, and we definitely used to build snowmen and put them at the bottom of like blind hills and stuff during the winter.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We would throw snow at cars by the shovel.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, we did that. I mean, we used to like shoot each other with BB guns.
Statute of limitations.
And stuff
you're
when
good.
We were kids.
We did talk about this.
Huh. The 90s were a weird time. Like you could do more shit, but like Macaulay Culkin was a straight up fucking psycho. Like you can tell. Yeah.
Do you guys want the actually 2-sentence summary from IMDb?
Ooh, sure.
Even though like you were pretty close, but there we go anyway. A young boy stays with his aunt and uncle and befriends his cousin, who's the same age, but his cousin begins showing increasing signs of violent behavior.
That's it.
That shouldn't have been 2 sentences.
Yeah.
Basically, didn't have to.
Like, real generic description here of the movie. Elijah Wood's mom dies, and his dad needs to go away on business. So he goes to stay with his cousin's family for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And it starts off real, like, normal kid stuff. And then it turns out that, like, Macaulay Culkin's a total psychopath, and among the things that come out in the movie is like Macaulay Culkin had a younger brother that drowned in the bathtub, and it becomes very clear that he did it.
Yeah.
And the girl that gets thrown on the ice that you were talking about, the ice skating, that's Macaulay's little sister, and he like purposefully throws her onto thin ice and she starts to drown, and he just like holds his hand out and stares at her while she's drowning.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So it wasn't into a tree. It wasn't an Irish whip into a tree.
No.
No, not a tree. Into a hole.
Yeah. Into some very thin ice.
It was an Irish whip though.
Yeah, for sure. He sent her flying. It was just like a short little clip in the trailer, but
Yeah.
I almost feel like we cheated, but I feel like we took it out far enough into left field and then shot it repeatedly.
I loved your premise of this being a crossover between those two movies. That was fantastic.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. They don't do that enough. Why don't they do that? Like, I guess that's a really dumb idea on paper, but if somebody told me like they were doing that, I would be first in line to see that fucking movie. Like, that is so stupid. I have to go.
Can you imagine Elijah Wood like having to deal with the fact that his brother just flew away in a fucking wagon?
Right. Yeah, you have to address that. You can't not address that.
That's gonna leave some issues, guys.
Should we skip right to the end of this fucking movie?
Yeah, for sure. Well, so let's say the conceit is Elijah figures out that Macaulay's a nightmare and keeps telling everyone, but nobody believes him, and that's like all the movie.
Except for Macaulay Culkin's mom, who starts to suspect things.
Yeah, eventually, but she should have been able to piece that together a little earlier.
that dog did not have to die.
She doesn't really figure it out until she goes into Macaulay Culkin's murder shed and like starts to put the clues together.
Yep. Yep.
Murder Shed. How about that?
That's always the giveaway.
Yep. Murder Shed. That's the sequel for sure. Murder Shed. Yeah.
It's like the shed that Jason Voorhees would live in.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
There's literally a doll hanging by a noose in that shed.
Yeah, there was.
I wanted a scene where the mom saw the doll and was like, huh, what might this mean?
So yeah, Lee, do you want to get to the actual ending?
Yeah, so...
Seamless.
No one will ever know that I dropped out of the call for a few minutes.
We're very professional these days. Yeah. 24 reps, man. We are killing it.
Nice. So yeah, the mom, who is the only person so far that even like believes Elijah Wood a little, goes into Macaulay's murder shed, and she finds like a clue to the death of her other kid. And
oh no.
Yeah, she starts to ask Macaulay about it.
So this kid's been fucked up.
Oh yeah.
The clue,
he drowned his brother in the bathtub.
Yeah. The clue falls out of a weird pallid mask that Macaulay Culkin just has hanging up on the wall, and she lifts it up and oh, here comes a rubber ducky.
Yeah, and like the conversation
and he kept it. Yeah, that's memento. Crazy. That's fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's a serial killer, so. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So the conversation they have, she's like, why did you take this? I couldn't find it. You knew I was looking for it. And he's like, oh, it was mine before it was his. So, like, he killed his little brother over a rubber ducky.
Yeah.
Yep.
It sounds like the brother was fucking asking for it. If he
yeah, you do little, not touch a man's rubber duck.
No.
That little one-year-old bastard.
I learned that from Ernie.
I gave him the option. Yeah. Give it back.
Yeah.
It's almost like he was pre-verbal then.
Yeah.
So then they go out into the woods and like... they have this kind of chase through the woods to this cliff that his mom just constantly is standing on through the whole movie.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Yeah.
It's metaphorical.
Yeah, well,
I think that's
the
intention, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get into
this. I thought
this
movie was about a witch at the beginning, because, like, she was always dressed in black, standing on this precipice, looking forlornly at the ocean. I assumed she was going to have some kind of satanic rite out there, but nope.
Nope.
Why not? Couldn't have hurt. Yeah.
So would've
made the movie more interesting.
They end up on this cliff, and Macaulay Culkin pushes his mom off the fucking cliff.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
what?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it gets.
What? Wait, this is the end of it?
Most serial killers
like love their fucking mom, unless they murder their mom. I guess that's really parallel. They either love them a lot or they fucking kill them.
Those are the two choices, I think. Yeah.
Seth, do you wanna take over with the description of what happens, since your doppelganger is the hero?
Yeah. Mini Seth shows up and he tackles Macaulay. The nickname that I gave him at the beginning of this movie is Macaulay Skulkin, because he's always skulking around.
Love it. Makes sense. Got it.
Yep. So Mini Seth goes ahead and tackles Skulkin, and they start, you know, doing a barehanded prepubescent fist fight where they're just like...
A lot of slapping.
Yeah, yeah.
Scratch marks everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I guess if we do everything in order, Skulkin pushes his mom off the cliff, and she's like hanging on cliffhanger style. And then he picks up a big ass rock, and he's about to just chuck it at her head.
Oh yeah.
And then Mini Seth
just stomp the fingers. Haven't you ever seen a fucking
movie? No. She's a good like 10, 15 feet down. Like it's something like a you know 10-meter cliff or whatever.
Then the rock is the clear cut choice.
Yeah, yeah. It's probably way more than that. Anyway, Mini Seth tackles Skulkin, and they just start beating the crap out of each other. You know, like a 10-year-old can.
Real boys will be boys, kind of. Fun.
Yeah. Like I do remember a number of times when Skulkin picks up another rock and is about to bash in Mini Seth's brains. but then they eventually are you know, tumbling around, and the mom gets back up on the precipice, and they tumble off, and she grabs each of them by one arm, and then we have a whole, like, Skulkin being, "Oh, I love you, Mom. Please, just bring me back up. I want to go." I don't know, whatever children like to do.
I hope she lets go of him like fucking, what's John McClane? Fucking,
oh, yeah,
what's
yeah,
his
yeah.
Fucking diary? Just let him, just let him go.
Yep. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. All right, solid. Yeah. Way to go, Mom.
Well,
yeah, she.
Well, yeah. Elijah is sitting there, one, not using his other fucking arm. He's just holding on with one arm. He has a free arm.
He's being real lazy about it. That's a,
and the entire time, I'm like.
He's having flashbacks from Radio Flyer getting the shit kicked out of him.
Oh, what a mess. But he's like, "Ah, save me, save me." And then, you know, the mom finally drops Skulkin, and wow, it is brutal when he hits the rocks.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep.
It's like, blood. it's like that boy was, you know, let's say a balloon animal, except filled with blood.
Yeah.
And so when it hit the rocks, he just kind of like evaporated into this beautiful cacophony.
And my favorite thing is that's literally the end of the movie.
Yeah, and yeah. then there's a voiceover.
Roll the credits.
Yeah, Minnie Seth does a voiceover where he's like, "I wonder if my aunt if my aunt could have done it ever again, I wonder if she would have made the same choice." And then we go, "Oh, sunset."
Yep.
End of film.
So, yeah.
So goddamn that was an stupid. Interesting point. Besides the like obvious dumbness of the scene, my issue with it was she figures out the whole duck thing,
yeah,
and then it takes her 30 minutes to go from "my son is like perfect and obviously isn't a killer"
yeah
to like "yeah, I'm gonna drop him off this cliff." Like, yeah, it is 30 minutes between those two things.
Oh, which, there's also a scene earlier when like Macaulay is visiting his little sister in the hospital because she gets saved from drowning, and he's about to smother her with a pillow until he notices his mom in the room, and she's like, "What are you doing here?"
No,
yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh, I just wanted to make sure my sister was okay."
Yeah.
But then it's like he's at the hospital in the middle of the night, and then he's like, "Okay, I'm going to go home." He's 10. He can't drive. Like, she just lets him go. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. Nice.
He probably hitchhiked.
Like, okay,
or are you going to tell that kid what to do?
Well, yeah, no, clearly true. Not.
Where did the second part of the, or like after the opening scene, which obviously took in place in the American Southwest, where did the movie take place? Was it Maine?
Maine.
Was it Michigan?
Yeah, it's Maine.
I think it was
Maine?
Like, is it Maine?
Yeah, oh, yeah, they like it's explicitly Maine.
Or okay. All right.
It's
a
dope ass house. That the whole
set. Oh yeah,
of
they have a really
fantastic.
Nice house. It's right near a bunch of precipices. You know, in case you need to.
Good if you're a murderous little kid too. Lots
yeah.
of woods, lots of cliffs.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Lots if I were the realtor, I'd be like, "And here is a cliff where if your child ends up being evil, you can drop them from."
Yeah. Oh, that might come in handy. Yeah.
No one will ever know.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oof.
I've got some things to
that's
talk
heavy
about.
Stuff.
Yeah, it so is. Do I. So
it's,
do I.
It's weirdly heavy, yeah.
So,
yeah, Lee, you go first.
Yeah,
so this movie was written by Ian McEwan, who is a super famous British novelist, like, old white guy, famous, like, he's won all the awards you can win. Kind of a shit bag.
Naturally.
Yeah. And you can really tell that the person who wrote this movie doesn't usually write movies. Cause just happen and there's weird voiceovers that are totally out of place and shit. But the thing that I think is way more interesting about it than just that this guy wrote it, is that he wrote it years before it came out. So Fox, 20th Century Fox, made this movie, and I guess they contacted him because he had written some movies in the past before he became famous. And they were like, we want a movie that is like a really tense thriller that's going to be super cheap to make, but people are going to watch it and like, oh, this can win awards. So he writes this movie for them, and they like, he submitted it, and they were like, we're not going to make this movie. And then a few years later, they decided to make this movie based on the success of Home Alone and Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, people want to see a movie about a serial killer, and people want to see a movie about a kid. And we already have a script where we have both of those things.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, like, nothing about this movie makes sense. I don't know.
We talked about this previously. It's very true. So I had a similar thing. I was wondering if people thought this was going to be a kids movie because of the two stars.
And I was like, man, is that disappointing?
Yeah, like there must have been some weird car rides home from the theaters. Like, so
like fucking Marley and Me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Where like parents had to explain to their kids like a bunch of horrible shit.
So yeah. A sociopath is...
yeah. Like, mommy, are you going to kill me? Well, no, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
I might drop you off.
That depends on you entirely.
But...
yeah, yeah.
I'm That's
gonna,
up to you.
I'm definitely going to check the shed when we get home, but we'll see how it goes.
I don't want this shed turning into a murder shed.
Yeah, we're going to put a lock on that fucking thing. Yeah.
Listen, if you've got to use the shed, kids, just put your stolen porn in there. It'll be, don't worry. It's okay.
Like a normal kid. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Listen, kids, you don't have to use that old dead tree in the woods anymore to hide your porno bags. Yeah.
This is some Stand By Me shit now.
That's a good way to ruin a good porno.
Yeah. Ugh, tree rot. Ugh, no good.
Those lemon-stealing whores.
And we're back. Seth, did you have some stuff?
Oh my god, I have so many things. first off, the opening credits are done in a typeface I want to call Comic Sans Narrow.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah. Oh my god. How did they think that was a good idea? Never.
I wonder if the idea was we'll use a typeface that doesn't give away the fact that this is a movie about a murderous child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible, but man, it looks stupid as shit.
Plus, even then, I mean, again, like, why, like, be not upfront about what the thing is, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. My next point, and we talked about this a little bit outside of this, but, like, Elijah Wood's mom dies, and he definitely gets Star-Lorded. Like, he gets Star-Lorded hardcore.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
He like, watches his mom die of cancer, and then he runs out of the hospital room, but no aliens pick him up.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been way cooler, but, you know, whatever.
I had this one. I even asked Lee, number one friend of the show, Eva, I was like, so dad of the year, David Morris, who's Elijah Wood's dad in this movie.
Yeah.
Like a week after the mom dies is like, hey bud, fuck off. You're going to live with your aunt and uncle.
I have to go to Japan for the big deal.
Yeah. And then doesn't even like rip the bandaid off and put him on a plane. He drives him for days.
Yeah. From
several states.
Clearly from the American Southwest to Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
And also, the entire time, he is wearing the exact same outfit as Laura Dern in Jurassic Park.
Oh, the high-waisted khakis and the...
Yeah, high-waisted khakis, that kind of pinkish shirt, and they're in a Jeep. I'm pretty sure that one or the other ripped each other off, but they both came out the same year, didn't they?
I'm going to have to go back and check that out, because...
93, 94? I don't know, yeah.
I think Jurassic Park is 93 also, so...
Okay.
Oh, man. I don't know if this is a parallel evolution of the best fashion ever, or what.
Well, but fucking heap it on the pile of movies. Like, this is just another extension, I guess, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Alone, Laura Dern and the dad in this movie shop at the same store.
Yep.
They do.
Yep. So when Elijah Wood arrives at Macaulay Culkin's family's house,
Culkin,
so good. Why did you wait so long to bust that out?
Well,
so I see that Macaulay Culkin got Culkin, but why does Elijah Wood get mini Seth?
Well, because we used to look very similar. My face has aged very much from. we'll just say. Grad school has not been kind on my face.
Yes, Seth used to be very pretty, you guys. I don't know if you
can tell. You don't have the luxury of movie makeup every single day of your life.
That's true. Yeah. I used to have the most striking, beautiful eyes. And then
and now they're just cold and dead.
And then now they're just cold and dead because of a PhD program. Fancy that. But when Mini Seth arrives, they have a big dinner, and every single child has an entire lobster.
A kid is going to eat a whole lobster.
Everyone in the house has a lobster. It's mind-boggling.
A whole lobster for everyone.
Yeah, and like Macaulay Culkin shows how he's a sociopath, I guess, by showing how he cracks lobster claws, but, you know, whatever.
But, like, what's the other option? You like, lick him to death?
You can't take a step outside without tripping over a lobster, so.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got those land lobsters up there, yeah.
Is
that in your house and shit?
Is that where the famous, like, Christmas tree lobster came from? You know, there was, like, a whole cryptozoological issue where there are tree lobsters? I don't remember the whole story.
But. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well,
I have no idea.
Dear listener, please write in if you know about the terrestrial tree lobster.
Yeah. I think that was trying to feign, like, early foreshadowing that he was a psycho.
Yeah,
he was just giving good instructions on how to eat a lobster.
Yeah,
he's like, you crack the claws. It's like, yeah, you do. Actually,
that's where the good stuff's at. Yeah.
So I hope Lee's favorite fashion was appreciated of Skulkin's denim on denim.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Canadian tuxedo.
Yeah, yeah. Canadian tuxedo. Certainly, Lee. Born in the USA, really.
Yeah. They only ever shot him from the back.
The boss.
I've only worn that twice this week, so fuck off.
I don't even believe you, dude.
Yeah, I don't believe you either, let's be honest.
Is there a belt buckle? You guys know about Lee's campaign poster, right?
Know about Lee's what?
Campaign poster.
Ooh,
Lee's campaign poster for class president.
Oh, yes. Oh, I may have heard this, but go on. Ooh, go on, for sure.
Let's get some embarrassing personal stories up in here, shall we?
It's literally Lee with a jean jacket. Or no, I'm sorry, excuse me. A jean jacket with the cut-off sleeves. A pair of jeans in front of an American flag.
It was the Born in the USA album cover.
Yeah, I know, clearly.
Yeah, like, we know what it is. But...
Well, yes.
It's good,
I already called you the boss.
I mean, yeah. I like it.
Oof.
Yeah,
you know, I was running on a platform of, here's my butt, are you going to vote for it or not?
Yeah.
Was it successful?
How'd that work for high school Lee?
I lost, so.
Oh, Jesus.
Not a lot of boss fans in the 90s in middle school? That's,
it was close that he had my vote.
Yeah. I certainly would.
Now all those kids think Springsteen is fucking cool.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They probably do.
2017 Lee would rule that high school.
In retrospect, I would have planned a horrible prom. So
joke's on them, though. He's always been the fucking man.
Hell yeah.
So Lee and Zach, was the music for you extremely jarring? Because it was for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody famous scored this.
Elmer Bernstein.
Is that a famous person?
Yeah, do you know Zach, you may be most familiar with the beef, it's what's for dinner commercials? That they use some of his music in.
You know me too well,
okay, no, that's Aaron Copland. That's famous.
Aaron Copland?
Oh, shit, you're right. It is
Aaron Copland, because that's Rodeo.
I can't believe you're just able to call him out on that. He's like, no, that's
fucking. What is happening? No, I think that's actually Stuart Copland.
Wait, the guy from The Police?
Just play it in 4-4, Stuart. Just fucking play it in 4, we're
going,
Stuart.
We're going 14-17 on this one, buddy.
Elmer Bernstein did, like, the music to The Magnificent Seven and, like, The Black Cauldron and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But, yeah, I
know it is excessive, for
like,
sure.
He's like, he's still a big name, but, like, goddamn, this thing was off tone.
Yeah, there's just had, like, random Hallmark moments movie. Where the music shifts in ways that are, like, fucking crazy.
Yeah, all right, it was like, it was TV movie.
For example, when, after Mom discovers Skulkin's murder shack and having murdered the other son, they just start playing, like, bongos. There's just, like, a bongo theme for a while. Yeah. Of them walking through the woods to... It's so insane!
My only guess there is, like, they put them in, like, the Beatles recording studio, and they're like, the world is your oyster. And he was just like, yeah, we're gonna fucking use all of it.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I created the score of this movie from outtakes from the Good Vibrations recording session.
Yeah. Slide whistle? Where's that fucking slide whistle? Get that shit over here.
I have one more point.
Oh yeah, go for it.
I want to go Donuts. For it, or you can talk, Lee. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Okay, so I was thinking about how this. upsetting.
Uh huh. Uh-huh.
You're having a bad time.
We reached 69 subscribers, so now you know
this is when it all implodes.
The dream is over.
The egos are coming out. The egos are coming out.
Yeah, thanks for being on the last episode.
Hey, man. I need my own trailer.
Only green M&Ms.
I was gonna make that joke too, you ass.
Huh. It's almost like we kind of think alike. Anyway,
we even drink alike.
Jesus Christ! All right, Seth, go.
I was thinking about how this movie would have been much more interesting if it had been from a Force perspective, and like Ooh. Elijah Wood was the evil one.
Uh-huh.
And was just kind of projecting all of these things on Macaulay Culkin and was actually just super fucked up.
Mega twist at the end?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I thought that would have made this a significantly less boring movie.
Yeah, it would have been way cooler.
Yeah, so we got into that, maybe it was last episode, I don't remember, but like, the bar for what constitutes like a fun, exciting movie was much lower back then, right? Like, nowadays, you'd have to twist 3 times or whatever, but back then it was like, oh, yeah, and the obvious kid is the shitty one, and he dies, and done. Like,
yeah.
That feels pretty satisfying, though, you watch a kid be shitty for, like, 2 hours, and then, like, Mom gets the payoff, and you're like...
Yeah, no, like, and I think that's what they were going good for, about so, that. Like, yeah, it works, honestly.
Yeah, but, like, the payoff of this movie is, like, you get to see Elijah Wood vindicated.
Yeah.
Do you think
there
were, like, any mothers in any particular towns that, like, eventually somebody called her, like, she's here. She saw this movie 6 times this week. Like, we should probably...
Yeah. I'm picturing some mothers for sure sitting in the kitchen alone with, like, a white wine going, oh, shit.
I'm not saying I want to be her. I could just see myself as her.
Yeah.
You know, come
you know,
to think
Danny
of it, guys,
is kind of a piece of shit.
My mom only owns one DVD, and it is this movie, so...
Really?
I've always thought of you as the murderous
type.
That's fair.
Is Danny building a, like, 3-foot ballista out in his murder shed, where he shoots, quote, bolts, which are literal, like, bolts.
Railroad ties.
Yeah. Not the kind of bolt that you would think of for a ballista, but whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah.
No, so the one thing I remember about this movie is back in the 90s, before like Fox actually had like original programming every day, they used to play movies of the week like 4 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was the movie of the week every week. There were scenes in this movie that I like remembered moment for moment. Like the whole, like there's a scene where Macaulay
Culkin, from that preview on whatever VHS tape I was talking about.
Yeah, that probably, too. Yeah. Macaulay Culkin like tells Elijah Wood that he poisoned the food. So there's a scene where Elijah Wood is throwing all the food down the garbage disposal.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, like, I remembered that vividly. I remember watching the mom drop the kid off the cliff. Like, this was the first time I've ever seen the whole movie, though. So I don't know what the fuck.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't show all the blood on Fox, right?
Probably. I don't know. It was Fox in the 90s. They were like the edgy channel, so.
They showed.
Weirdly.
I'm not sure if they would show a child-sized blood balloon shattering upon rocks at the bottom of a cliff, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's FX territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, or FXX even, yeah.
So, this movie had three of the Skulkin clan in it.
Yes! There was a lot
of them. Oh, yes. Go on.
Yeah.
Let's take a poll really quick. How many Culkin siblings does everyone think that there exists in the world?
Because I guessed,
and I was very wrong. Oh, so wrong. I said two tops. Way higher.
Yeah. I could name...
Very wrong.
Four?
I could name
four
three.
Four is closer. Still low.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are seven total.
Seven of them.
Yeah,
they didn't all act, right?
No, there. So four of them act regularly. The girl that was in this acts, I think she might have been in like three things ever. But yeah, there's seven. The older ones, I don't know, acted that much. But yeah,
I feel like I've seen his like younger brother in another really fucked up movie.
Yeah, so Rory and Kieran are in like comparable.
Yeah,
like,
party Rory. Type Rory movies, was in Signs. That's the one, I believe. Yeah, Rory Culkin was in Signs, and I don't know about any of the others because they're not really people.
Well, none of them are. Yeah, they're all sociopaths. Clearly,
I feel like their parents the might Skulkins. Be monsters if they have that many kids who are actors. Like,
yeah, or just seven kids in general. That's so many kids.
wait. Dr. Wikipedia Esquire the Third says that Bonnie Bedelia is an aunt to the Skulkin clan.
You mean John McClane's wife in Die Hard?
What?
I do mean that, actually.
So it all comes back around to Die Hard.
Everything comes back to Die Hard, yeah.
Always.
We did it. That's it.
Yeah. Bonnie Bedelia is Kit Culkin's sister.
Kit, no, that's being a fake name. Come on.
They all have really fucking
okay,
dumb names.
Okay, so do you want to know what Kit's real name is?
I do.
It's Christopher Cornelius. His initials
KKK,
are
is his name KKK?
Name is Joseph. My middle name is Joseph, and my last name is Jacobs, and my mother almost named me Jeff, and if I would have ended up a real life Triple J, I would have killed myself.
Yeah, that's rough.
Wow.
Wait, so did they come to that realization and be like, oh, we can't do that?
I'm sure it was not thought about at all. I think
because, I mean, Double J was pretty badass.
Right, this was like 87.
Getting people with guitars and shit.
I don't think that there was any correlation between the two. I think she was just like, I'm going to name him Jeff, and then didn't realize she'd make an asshole out of me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Shout out to my mom.
It's almost like she knew how you're going to be.
Fucking Jim with the jokes.
Are we ready to throw out some ratings for this movie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's wrap her up.
IMDb gave The Good Son 6.4, which I think is
so close to a good rating.
Yeah, but it's
6.9 is a good rating.
Hey, yeah.
It's been established. Yes.
I feel like it's a little inflated there, but
yeah, that's fair. I agree. So Seth, what do you think? Go nuts.
I liked our faked version way, way better.
I agree.
So I'm gonna give Jim and Kev like Let's say a 6.9.
Take it.
Which is the top of our scale.
Yeah. Can I just chime in? Nine. Can I chime in and also give Jim and Kev a 6.9?
Nice.
Sure.
Nice.
I mean, I guess I'll do it too then. Sure, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And you get like a special achievement when you get 3 6.9s, your score becomes 420. Blaze it.
Oh yeah.
Love
be
it.
A secret man. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. As for the original, man, like it was weird and contrived and not that great despite it starring myself, so I give it like a 5.5 maybe. Like it's not probably worth even watching.
Yeah.
Like if you're not already somehow invested either through having to do a podcast, probably shouldn't watch this.
I will say at time of recording it is on Netflix, so like it would be very easy to watch.
It is on Netflix, which is a lot easier to get to than almost everything else we've watched.
Yeah. You still shouldn't watch it though. You know, obviously 6.9 for Jim and Kev, clearly.
Yeah. Naturally.
6.9, nice. But I really love the thing that made me like really love your guys' movie was that it was a crossover between Home Alone and Radio Fly. Yeah. Like, holy shit. Yep. I was on board from step one.
Absolutely.
But for the real one, man, yeah, it's just it kind of sucks. So yeah, The Good Son sucks. Like two. Give it a two.
a two, damn.
Yeah. That's pretty low. Those are Seth numbers.
Wow. Those are Seth numbers, man.
I don't even know. I mean I kinda wanna watch it, but I don't even know if I want to now. Yeah.
The whole movie is like a person wrote a story about two children, but he doesn't know how children interact with each other, so he just wrote it as adults.
Yeah,
exactly. Like I felt like if they had written Skulkin's like character as being in literally any way charismatic or like most sociopaths actually function, it probably would have been a worthwhile movie. So I'm gonna reassess, Lee. You're right. It's probably down at like 2.3. It's not a good movie.
Killed it, Jim. Triple.
Yeah. So yeah, I will say yeah, definitely 6.9 for the boys.
Nice.
Nice.
I think it's more fun. Like '90s crossover is fucking great. Mm-hmm, I think it definitely had more depth to it. real Good Son. I think the problem for me was like again, it could have been a 45-minute Law and Order episode.
Yeah,
like,
really could have.
There was so much filler. Like by like the hour 10 mark, I was like, yeah, we fucking get it. Macaulay Culkin's a psycho. Like,
yeah.
Over and over and over and over and over.
That's another thing. This movie was not long and it felt forever.
It was like 93 minutes or something. Yeah. Really short. But yeah, it felt fucking long. So yeah, I'm going to go like 3 on the real movie. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah. All right. We did it.
So hey, Jim and Kev, what do you guys have to plug?
We play in a loud, obnoxious rock and roll band called Machine Arms, and we took a long break from doing it almost like 6 years or so. Yeah, we're just
we played a couple of reunion shows that kind of popped off, and then we, you know, kind of had a discussion about it because we broke up originally for we're just busy with other things. But
now we're just older, fatter versions of ourselves. We live in the glory days, and
it's very relatable.
We're almost done writing a new album that we're hoping to put out early next year, and we're going to have a split coming out before the end of the year with another awesome band from Wilkes-Barre called Vulture Peak. They're nuts. So we're hoping to just, you know, get that out soon enough. And, I mean, most people will probably not be for them, but, this is for that small, small little niche that it will be.
Seems good. Awesome.
Yeah, when people are like, what does it sound like? I'm like, I'm shitty.
Yeah.
So when that does come out, where can people find it?
We will be on all of the like
you know, reputable platforms. I haven't done any of that yet. It's just so long. It's such a long process. We have a Bandcamp right now, but when that's ready to go, it will be out on all major streaming sites and everything like that.
Awesome.
Yeah. What's
cool?
What's the name of the band and the album again?
We're called Machine Arms, and the split is just there. There's no title for the split. It's just one song a piece for this band, Vulture Peak, and we're just kind of putting it out for free because we're both recording full length records that we're hoping to put out next year. So it's just to kind of like get something out there, you know, to just to have something out because it's going to be a little bit. But we're both kind of like antsy to get new material out there. So
yeah,
just something different. It's something that a lot of the bands that, like, you know, we grew up listening to, they would do stuff like that, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of it going on anymore. So we just wanted to put something out that's, you know, a little different, and might just, you know, people be like, you know, that's cool. So, or maybe right not. Either way, whatever, you know, it'll be there. Right. Listen to it or don't.
Yeah, that's the risk. Yeah. No, yeah. Sounds great. Cool. Awesome. Well, so, thanks, guys. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
This was fun.
So yeah, I guess next week we're gonna have Lee.
Yep. Doing.
Lee doing.
The last doing picture last show.
Picture show. It's an old one. Yep. It's an old one.
It's an old one.
Not real psyched about that.
Well, see.
Oh boy.
A peek behind the curtain a little bit. I'm such a ridiculous asshole that we have to kind of go with weird old shit to find movies for me to do.
Yeah,
that's true. So our entire list of movies is made up by 90% Lee's bullshit, and it's all movies none of us have ever heard of.
Yep.
So here we are.
Yeah.
It's part of the Criterion collection.
The Criterion B-sides for sure.
Last Picture Show is, you know, it's on a bunch of lists as one of the very best movies, so...
What's that
so
company?
Chinatown.
Who's the group? The AF, AFI.
Yeah, the AFI.
I remember seeing a thing where they have, like, I don't know if it's number one, but it's very close to number one. It's top villains all time in a movie is the hunter whose face you never see in Bambi. And I was like, that's a fucking good call. Fuck that guy. Like,
super good. Yeah.
You never even see him. You don't even know who he is. It's just like a looming threat on the outside. Like,
yeah. But he made a good, he made an impact. That's undeniable.
Yeah, he fucking killed Bambi's mom. I'll never forget that shit.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, boy. All right, cool. Yeah, well, y'all gentlemen did very well. But
thank you, sirs. Thanks,
guys.
Seth
6-9,
always...
6-9 nice, I think, is what they scored.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hashtag blaze it 420.